Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast, breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system, here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Thank you for joining us this week. We're back with Lee Smith, who wrote The Plot Against the President. It's doing very well. Lee, congratulations.
Thank you.
You can buy it on Amazon. It should be in some of your local bookstores, probably not the airports, because they never seem to have conservative books in the airports. But part two of the book is investigating the investigators. Mm-hmm. So talk about that change, how you wrote the book. You finish up part one, and then you go to part two. How in your mind does that work,
change? I mean, I needed to explain what the operation was in the first part, and then the second part. When you and your team, when you recognized, once you went through, once you collected the documents, and once you started to interview people, and you found there was no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy, then I have actually in chapter 13, the first chapter, the second part, the investigator you brought on, a former DOJ prosecutor, Kashyap Patel. And that's how that chapter begins. Cash really, you know, casually turns it around and says, now we have to look at what happened here. And it seems that the FBI guys did some bad things.
Yeah, that was one of the things we said from the beginning is that, you know, a lot of people talk about, you know, when they came after me with those bogus ethics complaints, and then they kept me from leading the Russia investigation. Mm-hmm. But what they really didn't know is that by that time, we had already seen all the intelligence. We couldn't find any Russians, and we knew they were up to no good. And so I think you have this in the book. But I actually saw this as a relief to let some of my other members conduct all these ridiculous interviews where we interviewed dozens and dozens of people. Have you seen any Russians? No. Okay, thank you. You know, and it would go on for 10 hours. The Democrats would hold the witness in there so that they could run out and do a 6 o'clock hit in front of all so that CNN and NBC and all the majors would take them live with whatever nonsense came out that day from these witnesses. But one of the things that the investigators that we began to do is we began to look at what we called FISA abuse and other matters. Mm-hmm. So that's really what you start in the second half of the book.
Yes.
And you talk about the paper coup.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is the paper coup?
Well, I mean, the paper coup is a real coup. I mean, I the title of the book is accurate. It's not an exaggeration. It's not a novel. It's a real thing. After Trump was elected president, various adversaries in the federal government, political operatives, and the press tried to topple Trump. A lot of the operation, the most active part of the operation, appears to have been coming out of the Department of Justice and the FBI. What I mean by paper coup is the number of documents that they were throwing at Trump to try to encircle him. They weren't surrounding the White House with tanks and artillery. They surrounded the White House and the Oval Office with paper, trying to lock in the president, setting up a number of obstruction traps, and that rolls right into the Robert Mueller special counsel investigation, which was set up, again, to try to get Trump to slip up. And
right, because it really – because they know at that time, they know the dossier's garbage for months by then. You now have Comey with his notes that he illegally leaked. Right. And, of course, we'll never fully get to the bottom of that most likely. Now you're talking about April, May. Right. So now you've got the most powerful law enforcement agency on the planet who now for almost a year has been investigating. They give us all their information, which, of course, there's zero Russians except for the phony Russians that – the, you know, the fusion GPS Russians or the Clinton Russians, as you call them in the book, those are the only Russians, which were fake. And so the FBI knows by this time when Mueller's about ready to be appointed, they just lay an obstruction of justice trap. And that's really what the paper coup, they couldn't get anything on Russians.
Right.
So it really just becomes an obstruction of justice trap for the Trump White House.
It starts really at March 20th, 2017, when James Comey shows up in front of your committee and he announces that there's an investigation. At that point, he basically locks in Trump. Any move that the president tries to take to save himself will be rolled up into an obstruction of justice charge. This comes through the special counsel. It's the same thing there. Had Trump tried to fire the special counsel, had Trump tried to declassify documents, virtually anything they would have used as some sort of obstruction of justice charge.
And we know this because the Mueller, what I call the Mueller dossier, some people call the Mueller report, but we know this was the goal the whole time because everything that they have. There's two sections of the Mueller dossier. There's a section on, you know, Russian collusion, which essentially they could have just copied our report.
Right.
They basically copied our report and infused it with a bunch of Russia stuff.
Right.
That sounds really bad.
Right.
But the bottom line was there was nobody colluding with Russians. And they made it, I don't know, what is it, 200 pages? Then the whole second section is all on obstruction of justice. So that shows you right there, that's the whole thing they were working on the entire time, was just trying to set up obstruction of justice for a crime that the president had never, an unknown crime, because the president never committed a crime.
Right. There was nothing underlying it. They just wanted to set him up. I mean,
it's almost astonishing, right? I mean, you've probably heard me say this a thousand times now, but the exact thing that they were accusing Trump of doing, which was getting information from Russians and coordinating with Russians and colluding with Russians and dirtying up his opponent, the Clintons. That was the accusation.
Right.
That's what the Clinton campaign and the Democrats and Fusion GPS did. And really, if Mueller was being honest and fair, he would have said, well, wait a second, we do have some Russians, right? Christopher Steele, who are your Russians?
Yeah, right.
Glenn Simpson, Nellie Orr, who are your Russians?
Who are your Ukrainians? Yeah, right.
Who are they? You know, who are you talking to? That would have been a fair report. But that's why I call it the Mueller dossier, because it's all garbage. They never even look. They never try to find out who Joseph Mifsud is. This is why we need U.S. Attorney Durham to actually run a real investigation to figure this out, because it's kind of where – you know, what you lay out in your book, you have a lot of – you basically build the case for a lot of the things that we had been looking at and that you and other good journalists have been – investigative reporters have been looking at. But it's going to take the power of the FBI and DOJ to really get records and evidence, emails, notes, money transfers. That's going to take the DOJ and FBI with a grand jury to get that.
I was just going to say the other side of this is we're talking about obstruction of justice. I mean, as you talk about in the book in different parts, they were trying to obstruct your investigation.
Well, they did obstruct our investigation. And of course, we've made criminal referrals on that matter. But more so than that, they were willing to get anybody in their obstruction of justice trap. I mean, there were numerous times that Trey Gowdy and I would talk about how – we almost laughed at them because they were so clumsy, you know, because we would bust them for not giving us information and then they would like leak something out. And, you know, it was obvious. I mean, there was one time that they went out and they tried to have us come over on a Friday morning, demanded that we come over to look at some documents. And Gowdy and I were like, you know what, you think we're stupid? And then by that evening, they had leaked out those documents into the press. I mean, this is DOJ and the FBI. I'm not even talking about the Democrats in the House. Yeah, they didn't have this. This was the FBI and DOJ and the Mueller team leaking this out on us, trying to trap us in obstruction of justice and leaking information.
The DOJ, the FBI, and the American press. An ostensibly free press was working as part of an operation to set you up and to set up Congressman Gowdy as well in one of the DOJ and FBI's obstruction traps. It's horrifying. It's really terrible. It's a terrible thing that's been going on here the last several years.
You've done a great job getting to the bottom of all of it. So I've got listeners that a lot of them come from the San Joaquin Valley. Of course, we've got people from all over the country and even people from other countries. Mm. I think they'll be fascinated to learn about this, you know, what really happened. And I think you can do it by reading your book. But I want you to talk about your time in the San Joaquin Valley and some of the fun that you had there. And what you found when you got on the ground, because I know you have a couple funny stories.
Well, I should say that the book starts, the first chapter, there's a scene at Crawdaddy's. So
Crawdaddy's is a downtown Visalia. Many of you listen to the podcast. We do a lot of podcasts from downtown Visalia. Yeah. We haven't done one from Crawdaddy's yet.
Well, that's necessary.
But anyway, they have live music every night and great food. But anyway.
The first time I was there, the first night I was there, we were at Crawdaddy's. They have the live band playing, the Crawdads, I guess their name is.
With Ray Appleton.
Yeah, Ray Appleton.
We're sitting with Ray Appleton.
And some gentleman walks up to the stage and he asks for the mic and he's given the mic and he turns around and he looks at the congressman, he looks at you and he says, "This one's for you, Congressman." And no one knows what he's going to say. And then he starts belting out The Rolling Stones' Jumping Jack Flash with a famous line, "Born in a crossfire hurricane," which, of course, was the name of the FBI's investigation. It was just an amazing
scene. Which we suspect that's what they named it after the movie,
right?
Jumping Jack Flash, and that's why they named it Crossfire Hurricane. Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, who were both FBI officials at the time.
But it was wonderful just seeing how everyone erupted in applause, and the applause was for you, and everyone's having fun with it. And everyone, you know, all of the people there.
Yeah, they were making fun of it, really.
Right.
I mean, everybody's laughing about how crazy
the
FBI is for naming it this.
They were all your people there, and they all got a huge kick out of it. So I've had a lot of fun in the San Joaquin Valley and getting to meet a lot of different people there. And again, I look forward to going back and visiting soon, especially on a Crawdaddy's.
So one of the we'll get you back to Crawdaddy's because I know you're going to probably come out and sign some books for folks.
That'd be great.
But there was another funny time that I remember because you were out on the campaign trail with me. And if you remember, we went early one morning to Starbucks once again in downtown Visalia. I'm with my daughters. We're getting ready. We're going to do a couple events, and then we're going to a band review to see one of my other daughters. But as you know, you don't see the kind of the resistance freaks that you see on TV in San Francisco or you see in the swamp in Washington, D.C.
See, in my neighborhood in Washington.
Yeah. Yes. You didn't find any resistance freaks in the valley when you were there, except for this one occasion. So why don't you, I teed it up.
Okay, this is in the book as well. I mean, we're in there ordering coffee and two of your daughters are there and some woman just comes up and starts haranguing you. And I note that you actually stand in between her and your daughters because she's a strange character. And she's asking for things like, when are you going to have a town hall? When are you going to have a town meeting? And you say, I'm here right now if you have to ask a question. And she says, well, actually, I'm not even from your district.
Yeah.
So it's just this incredible.
But it shows you how they were sending people into my district for harassment purposes.
Right. For no other reason but to try to jam up.
And as I recall, she was like making my daughters very uncomfortable. I said, well, look, what questions do you have? And then she said, well, I mean with the press.
Right.
And then you said, hey, I'm with the press.
I'm with
the microphone.
Right.
Here you go.
I said, I'm with the press.
I'm
eager to talk to you about this. What do you have to say? She just ignored me. That's fine.
And I remember once you came up to her and you had stuck your microphone in her face. She ran out the door.
Yeah.
She didn't want to give her name. She didn't want to give her phone number.
Right.
She just ran out the door. It was a great, great story.
Yeah.
Scared my kids a little bit, but in retrospect, it was funny.
Yeah. I do enjoy being out there though. It's very fun. Nice. I've had a real pleasure meeting your family, your wife and daughters and your Uncle Gerald and a whole bunch of other people out there. Really, really nice people. And the food and wine are great out there.
You had tri-tip.
Barbecue
some tri-tip for you.
Yeah. I found some here in Washington, so I'll look for it again.
Well, Lee, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
I think you wrote something that's very, very easy to read. And I think it tells a story and there's a lot of new information in it. And of course, I think it holds the media accountable. And I know that's not easy for someone to do like yourself because you know a lot of these people, you're friends with a lot of these people. So it must be kind of tough.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Well, look, I mean, it's a very important story. It's an important thing that happened. So it was a real honor and a real pleasure. And it was great to get to know you and get to know your neighbors out in the valley and also get to know all the people on your team. Really just a bunch of terrific people all around. So thank you. And thanks for inviting me here this afternoon.
Thank you. Lee Smith, everybody. The book is called The Plot Against the President. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
The darkness around us leaves no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
It whips the dust up and rains pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all. Days, 'cause we kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save.
kept our American faith. As we, the people, free and strong, fight through the dark night toward the dawn. Freedom marches on. Afraid.
That's why they call her the home of the brave.
With a prayer and a purpose, we're already half the way there. We'll take that hard road to happier days. 'Cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.